Some of these changes Trump seems to be making to his immigration plan could hurt him in November.
Yeah, it may please more moderate voters, but you are going to lose the base.
Trump's running mate is off the campaign trail for a while. Indiana Governor Mike Pence going back to his state as people are picking up the pieces after an outbreak of tornadoes yesterday. But luckily,
there are no reports of serious injuries or fatalities.
There are serious injuries and at least 250 people dead in central Italy after yesterday's powerful earthquake. They are still pulling some survivors from the rubble, though, today. This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, Control, I'm kind of bored.
I think you cut out, QL1. It sounded like you said you were bored.
That's affirmative, Control.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
All right, you cut out for sure this time. Did you say I can get a mortgage approval in minutes?
That's right, Control. Minutes. Whether you're purchasing a new house or refinancing your existing home, Rocket Mortgage securely pulls your pay stubs and bank statements to build you a custom mortgage solution so you get exactly what you want.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yep, definitely better than months of dehydrated ice cream and powdered orange drink.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
This is not a secret program.
Following up on a story we first brought you yesterday, Baltimore police are now defending the use of a controversial aerial surveillance system.
This is something that we're looking into. We haven't made a long-term investment in it.
Spokesman TJ Smith confirming police there have been working with a private company to conduct surveillance flights over Baltimore neighborhoods for several purposes, including crime investigations and for monitoring protesters. And Smith does admit the city did not initially inform the public of the program at the start.
No, we did not publicly disclose this earlier in the year.
A Baltimore man who helps run a youth center in a low-income neighborhood there tells Bloomberg News he doesn't think the program is intending to keep people safe, but rather just to contradict anything that could be used against the city of Baltimore. U.S. soccer suspending goaltender Hope Solo for a half year because she took shots at the Swedish Olympic team, calling them cowards after they defeated the USA in the quarterfinals. This is USA Radio News.
Geico presents Kathy, the candid real estate agent.
As you can see, this apartment has crown molding, and yes, that's a working fireplace. Can't you see yourself curling up with a good book? At least until a pipe bursts, and then you'll need to replace your brand new upholstered sofa. That thing will soak up water like a sponge.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for personal property loss and damage quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
In Colorado, Fort Carson promising martial law is not coming to the state, despite online rumors to the contrary.
The Facebook post that showed what appeared to be an official 4th Infantry Division memo stating that Fort Carson is starting martial law training is a complete fabrication. There is no truth to it at all.
That's Post spokesperson Danny Johnson, who's not speculating why someone created a fake memo and put it up online, saying only it's possible to make fake documents look very official. The Facebook account which claimed that martial law is coming to the state no longer exists. The U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan is condemning yesterday's attack at the American University in Kabul, a press release from the embassy calling the attack heinous and saying that the targeting of Afghan students was a cruel and cowardly act. Afghan police say at least 12 people were killed, 7 of them were students, and over 40 other people were injured in the attack that began with an explosion followed by gunfire. Security forces brought the assault to an end hours later when they killed the two attackers. Prince's home and studio will soon be open to the public. Prince's sister, Tyka Nelson, announcing yesterday, beginning in October, the late icon's Paisley Park is going to offer tours. And a young Mississippi man says the FBI probably saved his life, arresting him on a terrorism charge. He will spend 8 years in prison for trying to join ISIS, but he told a federal judge yesterday, had he gone through with his plans, he'd probably be dead now. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimos Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Jack Cuss redevelopment plan for Flemington. I'll talk about how we might be on the brink of a restaurant recession. Six ways a charge card can help your business grow. The five steps you should take to prepare your business for sale. And I'll have the six easy steps to grow your business with referrals. It's Thursday, August 25th, 2016. And I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, we got to check the weather. Our current check shows it's 79 degrees at 12:06, and the forecast shows that today we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun with a little more humidity and a high of 88 degrees with a low of 72. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and very warm with a high of 92 degrees and a chance of a thunderstorm in spots with a low of 65. For Saturday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 64. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 85 and a low of 63. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 1.64 to 18,479.84. The NASDAQ up 6.41 to 5224.10. S&P 500 up 1.29 to 2176.73. Oil is up 17 cents to $46.94 an ounce, and or per barrel rather, and gold is down $3.80 to $1,325.90 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are up to date, and now you can listen live at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And for those of you not watching on Facebook, it's time to get into the program. You are listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, as we do every Thursday at noon. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Crown Trophy, five businesses in one. That's Crown Trophy. It's Crown Signs, a full-service sign shop, and Crown Custom Imprint Apparel, which we make any kind of apparel decorations for, whether it's silkscreen, embroidery, or transfer. And then we also have Crown Promotional and Crown Varsity, our varsity jacket division. So glad you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Always glad to be with you. And I look forward to this every week. It's it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it and get a lot of great feedback. I do want to apologize because there were a lot of people with some comments regarding last week's show. Both in support of my stance on the Black Lives Matter movement and against me with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I just simply didn't have the time this week with which to to respond to everybody, so I do apologize for that. But, you know, just know that I'm always thankful for the feedback that you're offering. Well, if you're a fan of this show, then you know that that theme music is the theme music to the CNBC television show The Prophet, which is back with new episodes starting this week on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. And this week they featured Ferrell's Ice Cream, which back in the 60s and 70s, Ferrell's had about 105 stores open nationwide. And over time, more and more seemed to close. And two gentlemen kind of resurrected Ferrell's and wanted to bring it back to its original glory. And one gentleman had experience in the restaurant industry, another did not. And then they hired a general manager who came out of the Hilton chain and was just phenomenal. And I really enjoyed tweeting this week with Marcus Lemonis, who's the host of the show, and getting a sense that he was very frustrated with the one gentleman. He kind of mirrored and echoed everything that I was talking about in my tweets. And you can kind of follow along. And it's kind of nice to tweet live with the host of the show and get a sense of, you know, are my thoughts on business the same as his thoughts on business? And it was very close to that. And so the funny thing was last night, my wife was looking through our DVR list and the show was still on there. And she goes, Marcus is talking about Ferrell's Ice Cream. And she goes, the one in New Brunswick? And I was like, what are you talking about, the one in New Brunswick? She goes, no, this is where we used to go as kids for birthday parties and, you know, to celebrate big things. That was a treat to go to Ferrell's Ice Cream. So it was neat to see that she had a tie-in to that as well. I had never been to one, but it looked like a good concept. And they had seven stores. They had closed two locations. Looked like they were going to end up closing another one so that they could kind of retrench, retool, and then come back strong. And if Marcus is involved, I think you'll also see some franchise opportunities down the road as well. So a great show. I love The Prophet. And if you're in business, it's not a bad thing to watch this show and get a sense of how you can improve your business, improve your negotiation skills, things like that, to help you just get a better sense of how business can and should be run. Before we get into my thoughts on the Union Hotel and the Flemington redevelopment project, because we're coming up on the first break, I just wanted to go through one of our first stories, and then after the break we'll start talking about the Union Hotel. So this story is about five steps that you can use to prepare your business for sale and attract buyers. Now, this is a topic that most business owners don't like to think about too much, or they don't think about until it's almost too late. And that is what to do with the business in the event of a retirement, death, disability, or something that would force you out. Sometimes, you know, when you open a business, you think, well, my son or my daughter will run it, if that's your game plan. Or maybe you'll just say, well, I'll sell it someday. But you have to prepare for that inevitability. And like most small business owners, you're probably too busy running your business to think about your exit strategy. But sooner or later, it will be time for you to move on. Now, whether it's your retirement, a new adventure, or an unexpected change in circumstances, you need to be prepared to cash out when it comes time to sell. So here are five steps that you can take right now to add value to your business and attract potential buyers. The first thing you want to do is create consistent cash flow. And we've been talking about that on the program for the last several weeks now, about the importance of cash flow. You want to develop new ways to increase revenue and generate income for the new owner, particularly recurring revenue such as ongoing accounts, subscriptions, and long-term customer relationships. This will impress potential buyers and give them peace of mind that the business will generate revenue as they get accustomed to operating it. Number two, you want to increase your business's profitability. You can fetch a higher sale price by showing potential buyers that your business is not only profitable, but its profits are growing over time. You can also boost profits by finding ways to cut costs and make your business run more efficiently. You want to develop a strong workforce. A business that's fully equipped with experienced employees is like a well-oiled machine. It adds value. A new owner doesn't want to deal with the stress of having to hire and train a team of new employees. Not only does an experienced staff bring balance and stability to the business, but it helps generate profit. Number four, you want to make your products unique and stand out. Your business should stand out from the competition and offer products or services that are unlike anything else on the market. This gives your business an advantage over the competition, and it gives it a stronger foothold in the market. So develop an intellectual property, patent, or unique product feature, and then promote it. And finally, five, you want to reduce any risks. Do everything you can to enhance your company's value and eliminate anything that could be deemed a risk for potential buyers. This includes making sure that your business is running smoothly and that all of your financial records are up to date. Your business should have curb appeal, so tidy up the facility, clear out old inventory, and get it in showroom condition. Your business is worth something. Now you have to make it worth even more to someone else. You can start by finding out how much it's worth today. And one way to determine its current market value is by accessing a valuation report, which uses real data of recently sold comparable businesses, as well as businesses that are currently on the market. Other methods include using earnings multiples or assessing the value of your company's tangible assets. The most accurate method is a professional valuation, which can be done by an appraiser, business broker, or CPA. It's currently 12:15. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We're going to step away for our first break of the afternoon. When I come back, we're going to have my thoughts on the Union Hotel redevelopment plan here in Flemington, New Jersey. We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. So glad you could join us as we get together every Thursday at this time. I sent out a Facebook post this morning, as I do every week, promoting the show and mentioning that I was going to have my comments on Jack Cusp's presentation the other night with regards to the Union Hotel and the redevelopment plans for Flemington Borough. Very rarely do I get any comments or likes or posts on that. It's usually ignored, saying, oh, Jim's going to be on the radio again today. And today there were a lot of comments. There was a lot of likes and things like that. But I just wanted to go over my observations from the meeting the other night. And what I noticed, I thought that Mr. Cuss did a very good presentation. And you're walking into a room that, for lack of a better term, can seem, you know, somewhat hostile to a certain degree. You have people that don't want the plan, that just want to leave Flemington alone. One lady in addition to the seven, you know, likes and loves, said that she had taught the Cuss boys in elementary school, that they were a great family, and that she thought that they would do well. One gentleman has been posting all over Facebook, "In Cust We Trust." And one woman said, you know, "Cust wants to tear down the historical aspect of Flemington and put up condos," with a question mark. And so there was a lot of discussion about what the new plan will be and what it will do for Flemington. Now, keep in mind that this plan was originally proposed back in February of this year, and Mr. Cusk received a lot of criticism from local residents and maybe some business owners that said it just didn't fit with the topography of Flemington or the look of Flemington. So he came back, met with the architects, met with people individually, and then said, well, what are you looking for? And came back with new drawings. And in fact, one of the biggest arguments that people are making here in town is that, you know, any plan for redevelopment almost ensures that the Union Hotel will be torn down. He's actually reincorporated that back into his plan where, yes, the original hotel would be demolished, but it would be rebuilt almost to the same specifications on the outside with modern amenities on the inside. If you were to take the current Union Hotel and try to redevelop it, you'd only be able to get about 25 rooms, and now he'll be able to get many more as a result. He has a unique plan for the liquor license in that five restaurants would be able to share the same liquor license, which I thought was unique. Didn't know that that provision was actually part of liquor license law. It would eliminate Flemington Furs, an iconic building here in Flemington, but incorporate Flemington Furs into a portion of the new retail space, and then the land that Flemington Furs currently sits on, a building would be built that would incorporate a satellite location for a college. And they couldn't delve into the details as far as what colleges are being looked at or talked to. The logical choice would be Raritan Valley Community College having a satellite campus here for whether it's adult education classes or other classes, or incorporating that into a science and medical field and tying that in with Hunterdon Medical Center. So the argument, and as you start to host a show and you talk about this topic, there's a good chance you're going to piss off 50% of the people, and there's a good chance you're going to make 50% of the people happy, depending on what you say. In the room that night, as you listen to the applause, as you listen to the clapping and things like that, if I had to put a figure on it, I would say that 80% of the people in the room were in favor of Mr. Cust's redevelopment plan, 20% against. And what you very often have is, as we'll see, is a vocal minority that is blasting Facebook, that is blasting just about every social media. I haven't seen today's Hunterdon County Democrat, but I'm sure there's plenty of letters to the editor in there. So you have this vocal minority versus the quiet majority. And so where people stand and how vocal they get may determine whether or not this is a viable project down the road. In town, there have been a lot of signs. We call them, most people are referring to them as the red signs, which are in favor of redevelopment rather than demolition. And now these blue signs have come up. It's a kind of like a teal blue with the word yes and some exclamation points saying that they're in favor of the redevelopment, and it doesn't matter if you have to tear buildings down to make it happen. Today on the drive into the studio, I noticed there were a whole lot more blue signs popping up in town. So I think people now are starting to come out and voice their opinion and take a stand on where they want to be. Anything that is done will be good for Flemington. And I don't mean to say that we have to tear buildings down yet, and I don't mean to say that we have to preserve all the old buildings, but we have to do something here in town. Now, an interesting statistic is that there have been no overnight guests in the Union Hotel since 1958. So you're looking at nearly 60 years with no overnight guests. It's not a hotel at that point. It has a name, but it's not a hotel. If you're not keeping people overnight, it's not a hotel. And the restaurant portion, the bar portion, the catering portion hasn't served a patron in over 10 years. At this point, it's a shell of its former glory and of its former self. So, yes, it's a building, and yes, people are passionate about it, and they have very strong memories of spending time there in the restaurant. Maybe moms and dads took their kids there. I know that when my father, if he had a few extra pennies in his pocket, it was a treat back in the 60s, early 70s, when my father said, we are going out to dinner and we're going to the Union Hotel. That we knew then that meant it was a special night, that my mother and father had saved a little bit of money and we were going to go out as a family to a very special restaurant. And we didn't get to go out a lot as young kids. So when we heard the term Union Hotel, we knew this was going to be a special night. But it doesn't jade me, and it doesn't jade whether or not I vote for or against the project. The fact of the matter is every town in America is just like Flemington. Every small town in America is just like Flemington. And people will point to Somerville and they'll say, well, look at how successful Somerville is. And they tore down that ugly strip mall and now they've built this new mall and it's got a new ShopRite and everything. And they really didn't do as much as people are giving them credit for. They tore down a Pathmark and they put in a ShopRite. Same footprint. They pulled down the one section, and that's where the Starbucks is and Wolfgang's and things like that, and they put apartments above. And that's what that's what Somerville always seemed to have. But a lot of people will say, well, we have – the model of Somerville is antiques and restaurants, and that if we find a couple of niches that work, then we're in good shape. Or don't go for the niche and just go for eclectic, have a mixed use on Main Street. And here's the problem. Right now in Somerville, you have the problem where the largest antique store, which used to be in the old Woolworths building, two floors, recently closed about a month ago. And the owner and all of the shopkeepers who do consignment there said the same thing. The demographics are changing. Younger people are moving into Flemington, and as a result, they're not really looking for antiques. They're looking for the trendy restaurants. They're looking for places to hang out. They're looking for things that young people want to do. And so during the meeting the other night, as I sat near the back, I started looking at both those who were for and those who were against. And the people who were against were a lot like me. They had a lot of silver in their hair, and they just simply kept shaking their head no and saying that they didn't want new development. And younger people, and I'm going to throw 45 and younger as being defined as the younger set, they seem to be in favor of it. And I think there's some people that have this, you know, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. Let's get it done. Let's put the shovel in the ground today. And then there's others that are like, man, we really have to preserve the history and the look of Main Street. Another thing that this town has a very big problem with, when you deal with main streets in most towns, it's the first floors are reserved for retail. Walk up and down Main Street of Flemington, and the first floors are very often occupied by service-type businesses, CPAs, attorneys, things like that. So you're giving up some of your prime real estate that could be used for retail, and it's being used by attorneys. The other problem that Flemington has, and this is a big one, and this is not a I'm for, I'm against issue. Absentee landlords are killing this town because they own the properties, they hold on to the properties, they don't rent them out, and as a result, they just stay vacant for years. And what happens is people come to town, and they keep seeing the same stores vacant over and over again. And without the lights on, you can't do anything. You can't really promote come shop in Flemington when all people see are buildings with dark lights. So one gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, what do you want? Where do you stand? What do you want to do? He goes, I noticed that the filling station, which is a project of the Flemington Community Partnership, isn't doing anything for my business. It's open on Friday and Saturday nights, and it's not doing anything for my business. And I asked him real quick. I said, by the way, are you open on Friday or Saturday night? He goes, no, I don't have any night hours. I go, well, here's part of the problem. I can bring 1,000 people to town every weekend, but if they can't come into your store, how are they going to buy? You're relying on them wanting to come back to your business on another trip when it's convenient for you. So I think part of what we have to do is the retailers, the merchants on Main Street, have to start getting some late night hours. I'm going to float an idea next year called Third Thursdays, where the businesses on Main Street will stay open on the third Thursday. We'll market it as such. So I'm asking you to stay open until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, 12 nights a year. And then let's track the metrics and see, did that result in an increase in business to your store? Can we get more people in town to shop? And if you tie that in with Thursday Night Lights, you're already going to have thousands of people here. Now you have to promote your business, and we're going to promote the fact that you're open, and hopefully we can do more. With regards to Main Street and redevelopment, Something, as I said, has to happen. And it's happened all over America. I was just recently in San Antonio, and you could see a section of town that had been redeveloped and is still in the process of being redeveloped, just two blocks away from the Alamo, which dates back to the 1800s. And it didn't disturb the character of the town. In fact, if anything, I think it's going to enhance it down the road. Now, we don't have a river walk like San Antonio, and we don't have a lake like Horton, Kansas, but we do have enough retail and the potential for retail, and we have the vineyards around here in Hunterdon County that we should be able to tap into and then draw people back to Main Street and the other areas for restaurants where they can enjoy themselves and make a day out of it, make it a day trip. So hopefully, in time, I think people will find that something has to happen. And there's a lot of people that are making the argument that we have to rehabilitate these old buildings, but then what? You know, we can spend millions of dollars to renovate the Union Hotel, but if we're not going to open it as a hotel, we're just renovating it to keep it standing. What have we gained? And the answer is simply nothing. So I think at some point we have to start looking at, for 10 years we've done nothing. For the last 20 years, this town has been in a decline. If you really want to save this town, at some point, we're going to have to move forward and do something drastic that's going to make that change. Otherwise, this town is just going to fade away and nobody's going to come anymore. And if you think we have vacancies now, give it another 3 years of inactivity and see what happens then. We'll be right back. We got more on the show. We're going to take a quick break for a quick news break and weather, and when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not we're on the brink of a restaurant recession. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Total registrations for FEMA assistance, 119,389. Total assistance approved, $132.5 million.
That's Governor of Louisiana John Bel Edwards describing the amount of relief being sent into Louisiana after the massive flooding that had left tens of thousands without their homes. Edwards says it's going to take years to completely recover from the flooding. A series of tornadoes ravaged Indiana yesterday. This resident said they were forced to flee because of downed power lines.
The police came to our apartment and told us we had to leave. Everybody had to leave due to the fact that power lines and stuff, it's not safe.
The American soldier killed in Afghanistan yesterday has been identified as Green Beret Staff Sergeant Matthew Thompson of Irvine, California. He died in a bomb blast while on foot patrol in Helmand Province. USA Radio News.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods, no MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic, nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Currently 79 degrees at 1233. So glad you could join us. Today we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun with a little more humidity and a high of 88 degrees and a low of 72. For tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny and very warm with a high of 92 degrees. Chance of a thunderstorm in spots with a low of 65 degrees. And for Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 64. For Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high of 85 and a low of 63. All good stuff there. Looks like we're going to have a nice weekend, so looking forward to getting out and enjoying some time there. Hopefully working on the Plymouth, if a gentleman who's rebuilding the generator for that would get that to me. Could spend a little time under the hood and hopefully get Dolly back up and running. Next week, we're going to take a break from the program. I have to go back into New York City and have a procedure done with one of the good doctors there at the Hospital for Special Surgery to hopefully correct a little problem here in my neck. And so then we will be back the week after. So again, no program next week. So when I posted this next article, I got a lot of comments like, what the heck is that? Never heard of it. And the question is, are we on the brink of a restaurant recession? Now, in the past several weeks, the picture that we've gotten of the restaurant industry hasn't exactly been a promising one. Dunkin' Donuts saw traffic slip at its U.S. locations in the latest quarter. Potbelly Sandwich Works said it expects to be challenged by a more cautious consumer in the near future. And McDonald's says its sales were hampered by a broad-based retreat from dining out. Now, talk of a restaurant recession has been percolating on the internet after an investment bank analyst used the provocative phrase in a research note to describe where the dining industry and the overall economy might be headed. So what's going on? Let's break it down with a couple of popular theories. The first theory is that this is an early foreboding sign that consumers are starting to pull back on their spending. This is the most frightening of the possibilities because if it's right, it suggests that the broader economy could be poised for a slowdown. But it's also the explanation that seems toughest to prove. So let's start with the factors that are causing the hand-wringing. For one, restaurants have been one of the bright spots of the broader retail industry for years now. But recent data suggests that business is getting gloomier. NPD Group, a market research firm, found that visits to fast casual eateries fell in the most recent quarter for the first time since it began tracking them in 2004. Trade publication Nation's Restaurant News found that sales at publicly traded restaurants saw a median decline of 1.7% in the second quarter. There is some anecdotal evidence, too, that seems discouraging. Michael O'Donnell, the chief executive of the parent company of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, told investors in late July that its a la carte dining business is struggling. And unlike its happy hour or private events businesses, that area is usually fueled by what he called aspirational diners, the one who might go to the steakhouse for a birthday or anniversary dinner. Mark Kalinowski, a restaurant industry analyst for Nomura, said he believes restaurant sales can offer the earliest hints of an economic downshift. How you eat and what you're spending money on to eat tends to be a very real-time decision by literally hundreds of millions of people, he said. But before you start fretting that economic storm clouds are forming, consider that there are plenty of other indications these fears are overblown. Healthy consumer spending is what powered GDP growth in the second quarter. The National Retail Federation recently bumped up its forecast for industry-wide growth for the year, saying factors such as high consumer confidence drove the decision. And then there's the fact that some retailers have seen shoppers coming out in full force. Home Depot recorded a 6% increase in revenue this quarter, and sales were up 8.1% of items that cost more than $900. TJX companies, the parents of TJ Maxx and Marshalls, saw total sales soar 7%, with the restaurant industry, Domino's Pizza and Papa John's, had a solid quarter. The second theory about a restaurant recession is that grocery shopping is looking like a good deal right now. According to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, prices for food at home, a proxy for grocery store prices, fell 0.2% in July and have declined 1.6% over the last 12 months. Meanwhile, the food away from home category has seen prices move in the opposite direction. They notched up 0.2% last month and 2.8% over the previous year. Executives from McDonald's, Wendy's, and Jack in the Box each mentioned this pattern on their most recent earnings calls because they believe the wide gap in prices was a challenge to their sales in the most recent quarter. And it indeed seems plausible that some shoppers saw such good comparative value at the grocery store. They might have backed off from eating out. Plus, big chains such as Whole Foods Market are making a push around prepared foods, which offer more direct competition to quick service and fast casual restaurant players. The third theory is that these earnings reports aren't capturing the full picture. Of the 25 largest restaurant brands in the United States this quarter, Kalinowski said only one likely posted an increase of 5% or better in sales at restaurants open more than a year. That would be the lowest number of restaurants hitting that threshold in any quarter so far this decade. But that doesn't necessarily mean things are looking rough out there. It just means business is tough for those particular mega brands. Doesn't tell us much about how regional players or independent outposts are faring. Think about these dynamics in the D.C. area. Local favorites Sweetgreen and Cava Grill have been opening shops rapidly across the region. When you started adding one of those spots to your regular lunch or dinner rotation, it probably came at the expense of dollars that you used to spend somewhere else, like Chipotle or Panera Bread. Ultimately, consumers are spreading their purchasing across a broader range of brands, said Darren Tristano, who's the president of the restaurant research firm Technomic. And then there's the customers who are lining up at Bad Saint or scrambling to get a reservation at Pineapple and Pearls. The earnings of the big restaurant companies do little to illuminate what is going on with these experience-oriented consumers who are dining out almost as a hobby. So, interesting thoughts there on the restaurant industry and the overall economy as far as whether or not you think we are headed for a, quote, restaurant recession, or if this is a precursor to something a little more gloomy coming down the road. It's currently 12:39. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. And the next topic is one that we've talked about a lot at Crown Trophy with all of our stores when we have our franchise meeting, and how to tap into the power of this next topic. And I think it applies to any business. You don't have to be a franchise. Any business should be tapping into getting more business by referrals. Now, if you have a customer, a single customer, who do they know that they could refer to do business with you? Now think of if you have hundreds of customers or thousands of customers. Earl Nightingale said it best, and I've said it many times on this show, that the best form of marketing is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. And, of course, on the cautious side, we always say the worst form of advertising is a dissatisfied customer with a big mouth. But think about your customers that, and it always crosses a line, but we talk about them, you know, not just as customers but as friends, people who become brand champions, who promote your brand. We have one gentleman, actually we have about five or six, but there's one in particular that comes to mind who has gotten us into an entire industry, so much so that we had to buy a second sign printing machine to keep up with the volume. His referrals, I would say, probably equal somewhere around $100,000 to $150,000 worth of business every year across all spectrums, including signage, apparel, awards, everything. He's happy with us, and he's we've always done a good job for him, but he's always come back with more and more referrals. So if you have enough customers, here's a better question. Do you have enough of the right kind of customers, people like this gentleman that I mentioned? Do you agonize over the marketing plan you've designed? What's the right message, the platform, and the frequency? And do you then pray that the precious cash that you've committed to marketing crosses over that pivotal line from expense to investment? Agony and prayer, not a great strategy, right? Now, if this sounds familiar, you're in good company. Marketing legend John Wanamaker once lamented, "Half of my advertising budget is wasted. I just don't know which half." Now, it's true that marketing metrics have come a long way since Wanamaker's time, but this emerging science has been somewhat marginalized by increasing pressure from the digital marketplace. Indeed, getting customers to sign on the proverbial dotted line is still challenging in the 21st century, especially for small business owners. Beyond marketing, perhaps the primary reason for our customer acquisition challenge can be attributed to a human trait that's at once pivotal or primordial and unfortunate. We make things harder than they have to be. Now, there are many examples, but arguably one of the most dramatic is one of the simplest to fix: failure to ask for referrals. Business referrals have always been there for the picking, and they're as old school fundamental as they are new school relevant. So why don't more people take advantage of this low-hanging fruit? It's that can't get out of my own way thing. Too many salespeople and organizations don't have a referral strategy or teach referral practices. Even though getting referrals is fall off a log easy, there are specific practices to follow. And here are six that I recommend to help you get started with your strategy. The first, spend as much time developing a referral strategy as you do a marketing strategy. When you do, two things will happen very quickly. You'll gain new customers that you weren't getting from marketing, which will take performance pressure off of your marketing plan. Number two, identify existing customers who like what you do. Each one is that valuable asset called a Center of Influence, or COI. Explain in person that you need their help and how they can help you. For example, "Mr. Smith, thank you for your business over the years. We'd like to have more customers just like you, and I'm sure you ask your customers for referrals, and we'd like to ask if I may do the same with you." Ivan Meisner, the founder of the Business Network International, or BNI, furnishes these critical questions. Who do you know who has your high standards? Who uses the products we offer? Who would you like to help do business with good companies like ours? Now, when you get a referral, thank the COI profusely before, during, after the subsequent contact, especially if you get the business. One thing I always say to my COIs is, if a referral is a friend or a customer before I contact them, I promise they will still be after I talk with them. For millennial, business referrers have been paying it forward. As Meisner says, givers gain. And the best way to have a sustainable referral strategy is to be an active referrer yourself. It's much easier to ask someone for a referral to whom you've just given a referral. If you're still not sold on referrals, look around. And you'll see many successful businesses that grow only by referrals, with essentially no marketing. There's one primal reason why referrals can be more productive than marketing. People are hardwired to want to help other people when they are asked. Get out of your own way and make a full commitment to creating and executing a referral strategy. Referrals are low-hanging fruit just waiting for you to harvest. I remember one of my old bosses, one of my high school jobs, working for a landscaper. On his business cards, he used to put a tagline that said, "Recommended by satisfied customers every day." He did absolutely no advertising, and we were probably one of the busiest landscapers and house builders in Central Jersey at the time. It's currently 12:45. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away, and when I come back, we're going to talk about six ways that a charge card can help your business grow. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Huntington County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us, as we do every Thursday at this time. Talking about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Huntington County and on the national scene as well. And here's one that I looked at the other day, and it makes a ton of sense, so I thought I would share it with you. Six ways that a charge card can help your business grow. Now, if you're looking for a tool to help your business grow, from racking up rewards to tracking expenses, there are six ways that you can get the most from your charge card. Now, when you run a fast-growing business, supplementing cash flow can be an everyday challenge. While there are plenty of financing options out there, one of the most simple is often overlooked, a traditional charge card. A flexible tool, a business charge card has no preset spending limit, and while this doesn't mean unlimited spending, your purchasing power may adjust with your use of your card, your payment history, credit record, financial resources known to the issuer, and other factors. On top of this, one of the biggest benefits to a charge card is the ability to delay payments for any goods or services. This gives your business some breathing room to pay for these purchases after you've received payments from your own customers. The key with a charge card is that payment is required in full each month. In fact, no interest is charged because it is expected you'll pay your balance in full. And if you don't, a late payment will apply and a credit card might end up being the better product for you as you can carry over a balance each month with a minimum payment. So if you have a business charge card or are considering one for your business, it's important that you understand how to optimize your use of the card. So let's get started. First, look for a card that's offering you a welcome bonus. Now, if you're in the market for a new business charge card, getting your hands on a great welcome bonus is one of the best ways to rack up rewards. Just make sure that the spending thresholds are in line with your anticipated spending needs. It's better to get a card that has a welcome bonus you're likely to reach. Sometimes they'll offer you like 50,000 points or 100,000 points if you spend $2,000 to $3,000 in the first month. It's important that you choose a card that you're confident you can hit the spending thresholds for the bonus. Otherwise, you will have wasted your opportunity to get welcome bonus rewards. Compare welcome bonuses and explore which may be the best for you. The second method is to get rewards on as much of your spending as possible. For cards that are generous with rewards, you want to earn as much as you can on what you're already spending. Otherwise, that's value that you're leaving on the table. For example, on certain cards, you can receive a base level reward, which is typically a point or a percent cash back for every dollar you spend on eligible purchases. And it doesn't stop there. With some cards, you can receive additional rewards for purchases in specific categories. For every business transaction you choose to pay with cash, you're losing out on the opportunity to earn rewards. In fact, there may be some transactions you don't realize you can put on your charge card. For example, if you're a contractor, you could see if your lumber supplier will let you use your card. Or if you're utilizing a marketing firm for your company, you could make their payments on your card. Who is supplying your inventory or your equipment, and will they let you use your card? Many billing systems make it easier than ever to process cards, so don't assume that one of your vendors or suppliers won't take cards. Ask them. Try to pay as much of your expenses with your charge card to get points for everything you're spending. Just be sure you can pay your balance in full every month so you don't end up having to pay a late fee. It's a good idea to understand what you can afford to pay off every month and then cap your spending there. Number three, add authorized users. If you have employees filling expense reports for charges on their personal cards, it could be time to consider adding them as authorized users on your business charge card to charge reimbursable business expenses. You'll be liable for the charges they make on the account, but if you're reimbursing them for the expenses, you already bear liability for those expenses. Why reimburse them with your business's cash when they could be earning you rewards on your business expenditures? If your card comes with rewards or cash back for every dollar you spend on eligible purchases, you want to make sure you're getting rewards or cash back for your employees' purchases too. Number four, you want to pick an issuer with a flexible rewards program. Now, if you have a certain card for personal use, it might make sense to go with the same issuer, too. Many issuers have branded reward programs, so you get to combine the points earned from both personal and business purchases. You're doubling your earnings potential by using the same issuer, and you're working with a rewards program with multiple redemption options. Instead of limiting point redemption options to a specific airline or hotel, a rewards program with multiple redemption options allows you to use the points for gift cards, flights, taxis, hotels, and more. You have more options, and with points coming in from both personal and business charges, you'll reach meaningful redemption levels a lot quicker. Number five, know how to get the most out of your rewards. With some cards, you can get extra points for spending in certain categories, which is a huge way to get even more value out of your card. Start by strategically thinking about where you spend the most. Do you drive from client to client and spend a ton on gas? Do you have to ship products to customers? How many points could you earn there if so? Where else do you spend the most? Do your research to see what membership rewards points come with, what cards, and see if you can find one that will give you points for that category. Number six, take advantage of spending insights. Yes, using a charge card for your purchases helps you earn rewards. Additionally, with more of your purchases in your card, you'll also have more transparency into your spending and streamlined cash flow management. How so? Well, many cards offer tools that make it simple to track expenses and merge them with your business's larger financials. For example, some cards have tools that can help you set alerts to prevent late payments, monitor employee spending, check your spending limits, easily match receipts to purchases, integrate with your QuickBooks account to make accounting more streamlined, and produce a year-end tally to help with taxes. Successful businesses need a strong hold on their cash flow. Your charge card can help you strengthen that grip. The key to getting the most out of your card is to treat it just as you would cash. Don't spend more than you have. With a charge card, you need to know what you can afford to pay back every month and not spend more than that. Monitor your balance weekly so you know when to cut off spending. If you're not careful and you can't pay off your balance, you'll be hit with late fees, and before you know it, all your efforts to earn rewards and maximize value will be overshadowed by fees. But with smart spending top of mind, a traditional business charge card can be a huge asset to your business. So get to know the card's rewards inside and out, using it as much as you can, and you'll be well on your way to getting more bang for your buck. I remember I was consulting with a business, and they were spending like crazy. And that one sentence in there was, don't spend more than you have, was really telling, because they were spending like $15,000 a month, but they were only bringing in $9,000. And I go, this can't keep going, because you're losing $6,000 a month, almost $72,000 a year. Once I painted that picture, they became so disciplined in how they treated their spending. It was just comical, because they became so frugal almost overnight. Let's talk about how to get more customers with Google's new local search ads. The latest changes to Google's AdWords products are designed to make the search engine marketing ads more local and mobile friendly. The new local search ads provide a more branded, customized look for businesses on both Google Search and Google Maps, while fine-tuning hyperlocal results. Think searches that target a neighborhood or street, not just a city, to entice more potential customers. If your business would benefit from more local customers, these three tips will help you harness the power of Google's new local search ads, improve the performance of your search engine marketing campaign, and get more people in your doors. Number one, you have to have your eyes on the prize. Make sure you're clear on the goal of your advertising, that your ads directly support that goal. For example, if your cafe recently started serving lunch and your goal is to spread the word to those in your surrounding area, configure your local search ads with that content to that demographic. Use locally relevant keywords. Customers might not be looking for a handyman in your city, but in your neighborhood, and it pays to include keywords like neighborhood, suburb, district, or street names in your immediate vicinity. Very few people will search Handyman Ohio. Instead, they might search Handyman Gahanna Creekside, Ohio. You also want to turn on location extensions. Turning on location extensions in your search ads will help customers because they'll be able to immediately see your address and phone number, hours of operation, and star ratings for your business without requiring additional clicks. This helps encourage Google searchers in your area to visit you in person. So there's a couple of hints on how you can use Google to increase the exposure of your business and get more customers with local search ads. So hopefully some of those tricks will help you as well. In sports, in NASCAR, Kevin Harvick won the rain-delayed Bass Pro Shops NRA race at Bristol, Tennessee last week. This week, the Sprint Cup teams are back in action this Sunday in the Irish Hills of Michigan for the Pure Michigan 400 this Sunday at 2:15 p.m. In other NASCAR news, driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. will miss at least two more races as he continues to recover from a concussion. Alex Bowman will fill his seat this week in Michigan as Jeff Gordon has a previous commitment. Jeff Gordon will be back behind the wheel of the 88 car next week in Darlington, where he has won seven times. NCAA football kicks off next Thursday night with UNC Charlotte facing number 19 Louisville. NFL training camps are underway, which means the regular and fantasy seasons are starting soon. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Red Sox, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. And the Olympics are over, and the USA team came out on top of the medal count with 121 medals, 46 gold, 37 silver, and 38 bronze, followed by China with 70 overall medals, Great Britain with 67, Russia with 56, and Germany with 42. Just a reminder, don't forget to visit the Flemington tonight for Thursday Night Lights and the filling station at the patio tomorrow and Saturday night here in Flemington starting at 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.